Welcome again to our study on the Gospel of Luke, and we are in chapter 5 now. And here we have the crowd surrounding Jesus on the seashore, and he looks and he sees two ships. And he gets into one, which belongs to Simon Peter, and he said, "Put away a little bit from the shore." And then he sat down in the boat and he started to speak to the crowd that were gathered on the seashore. And then after speaking, he says to Simon, "Well, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Peter said unto him, "Master, we have fished all night and haven't caught anything. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will do so." And he did so. And when he had let the net down, they were amazed at the multitude of the fish that they brought in. And so great was this multitude that he had to call the other people, and there were James and John in the other boat, and he called them, and the multitude of fish was so great that it broke their nets. And when they hauled the fish into their boats, the boats began to sink too. And they were amazed. They had never seen such a multitude of fish. And then Peter comes to the Lord and kneels down. He said, "Oh, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord." And they were just astounded at the number of fish that were brought in. And then Jesus said unto Peter, "Fear not, for from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You know, some interesting truths here. You know, there were no fish all night. But the Lord said, "Let down your nets." And the result was, there was a multitude. You know, often we have situations that confront us where there seems to be no fruit, no purpose whatsoever. But the Lord insists and says, "Now look, I want you to let down your net." And what do you get? You get a multitude. You see, the whole thing is this, that when God speaks to you and says something, it will come to pass. And whereas we have perhaps been unfruitful in a certain area in our life, and God says, "Now I want you to repeat that, and I want you to continue." And then as we do, he makes us fruitful. And then there's another truth that I want to bring out, and that is this. After they had indeed received this tremendous blessing, all this fish, they left all, they forsook all and followed him. And that I have noticed in my own life. I've noticed it in the lives of others, that in reality, God blesses us just before he calls us to move on to something else. And it's as though he seals what we have been doing and says, "Well, you did well, and now I have something greater for you." And that was true of the disciples. They were all fishermen. They hadn't been very successful. And now, at the time of their greatest success, Jesus says, "Come, follow me." They forsook all. And we often get tested in that realm too. So remember, when God blesses us in an extraordinary way, it's often the time to move on to greater things. Well, we move on now, and we find in verse 12, that there's a man who's a leper. And this leper comes to Jesus and said, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Now he was full of leprosy. See, full of leprosy, not just one little part of his body, but the whole of his body was immersed in leprosy. It must have been a terrible sight. And then he comes to Jesus and he said, if you will, you can make me whole. And Jesus said, I will. And then he says, be thou clean. And immediately, the leprosy departed from him. Now then, I want to speak on this for a moment or two. Leprosy is something that's very real. It's a terrible disease. And I've known of people that have had leprosy and they've been prayed for, and that leprosy has gone. And so, in a very real sense, you know, what happened in the days of Jesus happens today, especially in Africa, where leprosy is quite prominent in certain areas. People are getting healed from leprosy. But there's another truth that I want to develop here, and that is the signification of leprosy from a spiritual standpoint. And leprosy is a type of sin, type of hypocrisy. Now, you can have a person who is completely, shall I say, given over to drugs, given over to all kinds of immorality, and because of that immorality and those drugs, all kinds of diseases have spread in their body. And it's almost a hopeless situation. But that person was full of leprosy. It certainly was impossible. But there was a spark of faith there. He knew that if he came to Jesus, then Jesus could cleanse him completely. And I might be speaking to someone here because, you know, these broadcasts go around the world. And you're in that situation. You may not have what we might call physical leprosy. But you have diseases in your body through your immorality, through your previous life, perhaps of drugs. And you've got all kinds of poisonous things in your bloodstream. And the doctors probably have given up hope. But you know, Jesus could completely heal this man of leprosy, and the Lord can completely heal you. And here it was, you see. He said, go to the priest, offer for thy cleansing, for a testimony unto them. And, of course, his fame went throughout the land. And now, as we continue, he went into the wilderness and prayed, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. And they had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And here is a little phrase I want to emphasize. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. You see, God has his time. God has his time to heal. God has his time when perhaps he doesn't release healing. But here, clearly, it was the time to heal. And what do we see? Well, in verse 18, we have a picture of a huge multitude gathered around the house of Simon Peter. And here is Jesus speaking at the door. And also the power of the Lord is there to heal. And people are getting healed. And here come some men carrying a bed. And upon that bed is one who is taken with palsy, another terrible disease for which virtually there's no cure even up until this present day. And they could not get anywhere near Jesus. Not at all. And so they looked. And, you know, the roof wasn't very high up. And so somehow they got on top of the roof, pulled out the tiles from the roof, and let this man down at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus marveled at their faith. And the first thing he said, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." And the scribes and Pharisees said, "Well, how can anybody forgive sin? Only God can do that." But Jesus said, "Why reason you in your hearts?" Now here's a question. Is it easier to say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Rise up and walk"? And then he said, "That you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man, "You know, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house." And immediately he rose up before them, took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, you see. And here is the thing that's very important indeed. The Lord has power to heal physical diseases, our physical needs. But he also has power to forgive sins. Which is the more important? Well, when you have eternity in view, the most important thing is that one's sins do be forgiven. And obviously, to be healed is very wonderful too. So there we are. A man who is forgiven his sins, and also he's healed. And after that, he goes forth along the road, and he saw a publican. Now, a publican was basically a tax gatherer for the Romans. And they bought this privilege, and they took in the money that people owed for their taxes, and they often added more than they should have done. And that's how they became very wealthy. And so they were detested. But here is Levi, and he's sitting at the receipt of custom, and Jesus simply said to him, "Follow me." That's all he said, "Follow me." And in a very real sense, you know, that's often what Jesus says to each one of us. You know, he wants us to follow him. Well, Levi got up and made a great feast. And the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders, said, "Well, look, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And then the Lord replied, he said this, "Look, what about a physician? Those that are healthy do not need a physician, but they that are sick." And he said, "I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And here, you know, in this little study we're having at this time, we're looking quite a lot on the needs of people who have been deep in sin. And God is saying, "Now look, come to Jesus, and you will find that you will receive the forgiveness of sins, and also perhaps healing for your natural body." And this is what Jesus was saying. He said, "Look, I'm the great physician." And he said, "Who needs a physician?" Well, it's obviously those that are sick. And then he's speaking, of course, not just, as it were, for the natural, but he's speaking also for the spiritual. He said, "Well, who needs my ministry?" He said, "Not the righteous, but," he said, "sinners." He said, "I have come to save sinners." And then they can't say anything more. But I want to encourage you that if you feel that you're sick spiritually or physically, or sin has overcome you, you know, here is one who can heal you. You know, no physician looks at a person without feeling a sense of hope. And I've just been reading a book on dogs. It's by James Herriot. It's rather amusing. There's a lot of wonderful lessons in it. He was a veterinarian in Yorkshire, in the north of northeast of England. And he especially loved dogs. And he was called in when somebody's dog was sick, and he would go and visit that dog. And often he would be flummoxed in a sense. He didn't know what to do for the dog. He would give him the pills that were prescribed and so forth from the veterinarian's, medicine Bible. And yet these pills did nothing. And he would look at the owners and say, well, I don't give up hope, but nothing's happening at the moment. But often was the case where these dogs would suddenly become well again. And his answer was, well, that's just nature. But you know, it's also true of human beings. You know that we can be very sick, but God can touch us and we can be well again. You know, doctors cannot heal. That's one thing that they learn in medicine, that a physician practices medicine, but he cannot heal. All he can do is to give certain drugs or prescribe certain remedies. But in actuality, it is God that must heal. And so that's what I want to encourage you, to look to the Lord for your healing, whether it be in your physical body, or whether it be, you know, in your spiritual body. Need to have sins, the power of sin, broken from you. And if you come to the Lord, he will do that. He is a great physician in both areas. And then we come to a few parables in verse 36. And he spoke a parable unto them, and no man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise in both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles, be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. Now, what is he speaking of here? Well, let me give you an example. You see, wine is a type, in one sense, of the Holy Spirit. And new wine speaks of new truths. And it is very true indeed that when a person has received new truth, he's receiving it into an old body, if I could say that, an old bottle. And the tendency is that that new truth will explode, if I could say that, and the man would not be able to contain it. Now, I just want to read on a bit so that the explanation I have here is fully understood. In verse 39, no man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. Now God is giving fresh truth today. He's opening up his word in a way that he has never done before, even in New Testament times. And in fact, much of the New Testament is written for our edification, is written for us upon whom the ends of the world are come. And there's fresh truth in these pages. And I want to give you some examples. For example, a new birth. You know, you might belong to a church that does not practice or preach the necessity of having a new birth. And yet Jesus said, except you be born again, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And therefore we've got to experience this new truth, the truth of the new birth, being born again by the Spirit of God. And when we are, you know, our whole attitude is different. We seem different to the people around us, and we seem to explode with energy, with hope, with life. And then we go on. There's another truth that God reveals to us, and that's water baptism. And we go down into the waters of baptism, and there's a sense of an experience with God as we come out of those waters, being buried with him, and indeed walking in newness of life with him. Something happens to us, and there's a newness, a quickening of the Spirit of God within us. And then after that, you know, we look into the Word of God, and we come to the Acts of the Apostles. And there we find that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that they were gathered together in unity, they were seeking God, and what happened? The Spirit of God came down upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now that's a completely new experience from having the new birth or water baptism. It's something new. It's power. Power to be a witness. You know, before his experience of being born again and also filled with the Spirit, Peter was afraid even of those maids who came to him in the garden, the high priest, and saying, well, you were with Jesus, you're a Galilean. And he denied it. But after he had come to be born again, and after he had come to be filled with the Spirit of God, it was Peter who stood up on the day of Pentecost and declared what this experience was all about, speaking in other tongues. And he referred the people to Joel. He had no fear because of these experiences. These experiences changed. That man who denied the Lord and made him a flaming witness. And that's exactly what Jesus said. You know, in Acts chapter 1, he said, wait until you be endued with power from on high. And he said, then you shall be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, these experiences transform people. These experiences transform people. They get some getting used to begin with, because it's like, you know, verse 39, no man also having drunk old straightway desireth anew. You know, there's a certain sense of newness, and we are always prone to live in the past, prone, if I can say so, to be comfortable with that which we're used to. But these experiences will ignite us, will cause us to move on in God, to transform our lives, and so that we become a mighty witness for God. And so you see, this chapter, which speaks of Jesus and all the wonderful things he did, are possible for us if we are born again, water baptized, and filled with the Spirit of God. And so, you see, I want to present the truths of this chapter as not only occurring in the life of Jesus, but also to be possible for each and every one of us to be witnesses of these things that are spoken of in the gospel, and to declare, yes, Jesus did them, but like the cleansing of the leper or the healing of the others, say, but when the presence of God is here to heal, we have the same experiences and we have the same kind of ministry that Jesus had. And so I want to encourage you, you know, that we want the new wine. We want the new wine, and it will transform us. It will break the power of sin in our life. It will cleanse us from sicknesses, and we will be on fire for God. And that fire will spread to others, and they will be ignited by the power of God too. For what we have, we are to give. And so, you see, when we have been blessed of God, we must pass on that truth to others so that they likewise can experience the new birth, yes, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, and they can also, by the grace of God, become witnesses themselves. And that's what we want to do, to multiply the truth of God from what we have received to others too. And then, as Jesus said, this gospel shall be preached throughout all the world. God bless you.